Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family, and welcome to Ulu Radio's 30th Thursday night program, Dare to Win. We have some music queued up, and we're going to ask a few questions as we start off. Why are Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump so cozy? Is this what global white supremacy looks like today? What are these white billionaire oligarchs planning? And what must Africans of black descent be doing to be sovereign? These and more topics discussed on Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday evening broadcast coming to you in 2 minutes. Stay tuned. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday evening radio broadcast. My name is Brother Kimbizi. I'm a founding board member of Us Lifting Us and your host for this evening's program. Joining me this evening is Sister Nanana, also a member of the Us Lifting Us Board of Directors. To join tonight's conversation, call 929-477-2789. And then press 1 on your phone to ask a question or make a comment. We also invite you to visit our webpage, usliftingus.com. Again, that's usliftingus.com. Sister Nanana, good evening, and how are you feeling?
Good evening, Brother Kimbizi, and I'm feeling quite well, thank you, and welcome to all of our listening audience this evening. As always, Brother Kimbizi and myself are more than pleased to have you join us and sincerely encourage all of you to participate in our discussion, in our dialogue this evening. By calling into 929-477-2789 and then pressing the number 1 on your phone. That will alert Brother Kimbizi to the fact that you want to make a comment or ask a question. And we look forward to having a very rich and a lively discussion, as well as sharing some basic information about cooperative economics and Us Lifting Us Economic Development Co-op. Thank you, Brother Kimbizi.
Well, thank you. Good to hear your voice. Glad to have you with us tonight. We certainly find ourselves living in very interesting times, do we not? What is going on with Trump dancing with Putin Sister Nanana, what's your take?
Well, you have asked a question that is probably on the minds of a lot of people, and certainly it's uppermost in the most recent reporting of the news. What is going on with Trump and Putin? It really appears to me that there are probably a couple of things going on. First of all, Trump and Putin seem to have a relationship that, in my opinion, extends far beyond this most recent interaction and recent meeting. As a matter of fact, there are some who say and give indications that these two have been in dialogue and have been in communication with each other off and on for many years, probably since about 2006 and 2007. And so they are really not strangers to each other. In looking at the fact that they did come together in and meet, the major question coming from many people has been, well, what did they talk about and what has been the result of the meeting? And that's a tough one. There's all kinds of conjecture and speculation as to what really went on in that meeting. And so far, in my research, there are only two things that could really be identified that came out of it. One is that they have both agreed to establish some type of a quote-unquote economic committee. Now, exactly what the duties and responsibilities of this economic committee might be, that is yet to be seen. But it should certainly put us on the alert that even more upheaval is probably going to be happening with the economy as we know it right now, and also alert us to start looking at what impacts might be happening on a worldwide, on a global basis. It would also, in my opinion, appear that what is happening when you set up an economic committee, they are probably going to be governing something, making decisions about how the economy is going to be ran or what direction the economy is going to be directed in on a global basis. The second thing that has been agreed upon by several who claim to know exactly what has come out of the meeting is that there has been a decision made concerning the military-industrial complex. As a matter of fact, Putin is reported to have specifically used those terms, military-industrial complex, and somehow linking that to cyberspace and the internet. And I think that's real interesting. What would the military-industrial complex have to do with the running or the operation of the internet on a global basis and cyberspace overall? But those are two things that that we can definitely pay attention to going forward. It would appear also that these two are sending a very strong message concerning who's going to be in charge. And it does appear to me that it is a repeat of what we've seen in the past, the white male domination and certainly the perspectives for those who might be considered the oligarchy, the chosen few who have been in positions to make decisions that affect large numbers of people all around the globe. So those are just a few of my thoughts. One other thing that I found very interesting as I took a closer look at this whole meeting was that there on the public radio, PBS, Public Broadcasting System, listening to some of the research they had done concerning Trump in particular. For us as people of Black African descent, I think we need to be very clear that 40 to 45% of all Americans at this point in time remain very loyal and are very much Trump supporters. Those are big numbers when you think about the type of energy and some of the decisions that he has made, particularly as of recent, separating the children from the parents, the people who were coming in across the border. We need to think about that 45% of quote-unquote Americans are supporters of Trump. Those should all be big red flags for us. So I'll stop at this point and invite you, Brother Timbizi, to make your comments. But those were some major points that I thought were in the forefront in terms of that particular meeting, in addition to the very obvious kind of Trump's playing a game of semantics, is what it's been called, to avoid answering the question directly in terms of Russia's interference in the 2016 election. He has bounced back and forth at least two or three times on that, and seemingly to me tried very hard not to in any way imply that any such thing could have occurred, and even to going to the extent of saying that Putin has said no, that didn't happen. And he says that he believes Putin, despite what Dan Coats, the director of our national intelligence, says, and all of the investigation that's been done. So that, once again, is a very major red flag that says, okay, what is the real relationship between these two and what are they planning going forward? Certainly, it's going to be related to finances, to big business, and very possibly to taking control of other geographic areas that might be in question at this point. So I'll stop. I think I've said a lot. Thank you for
indeed,
the opportunity, Brother Kambizi.
Indeed, you have said a lot. And I want to thank you first for framing Helsinki in economic terms, for putting the focus on what this means and what it implies economically. You mentioned that there's this possibility of some kind of economic committee being formed between the Trump forces and the Putin forces. And I think it's important for our listeners to understand that Russia is no longer a socialist or communist country. They are capitalists now. When Soviet communism, when Soviet socialism collapsed between 1989 and 1991, and we see the ascendancy of Vladimir Putin from leading the KGB to being the president of the country, that represented that the KGB and the Russian mafia and these other gangsters had effectively seized control of the Russian governmental apparatus. So we need to be clear about that. And and then to your other point, what we're witnessing is that white billionaires, white nationalists, or white supremacists who on steroids are realigning themselves. You mentioned that we've seen this before. The European cousins are having a spy fight and a word fight and maybe even a fist fight as to who's going to lead the Europeans into the 21st century. And what we're witnessing is the wholesale sellout of and the hollowing out of the American government as we have known it, as these extreme right-wing forces surge to the forefront, represented by Trump and these servile Republican legislators and even Supreme Court justices serving those particular economic interests. Let's pause here for a moment and see if we have any anyone that is wants to make a comment or raise a question. For those listeners, press number one on your phone, and we'll open your phone line and take your comments and your questions. Also, Sister Nanana, so what we're seeing, and you mentioned it at least twice, you raised the question, what should black people be doing in this new geopolitical environment? We would say that black African-descended people must keep uppermost in mind that the African continent is the richest plot of real estate on the planet. As the European cousins realign their power relationships, at the end of the day, the primary global geopolitical question continues to be, who controls Africa? Our question is, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I agree with you totally. And as I listen to the comments coming, you know, from Putin and other people making making comments about the geopolitics and what it symbolized, they mentioned the United States, Russia, China, India, Japan, but very skillfully out Africa. And for me, that was a big red flag, because that let me know that that was the real deal right there, is who is going to be in control of Africa. And that's specifically why it wasn't mentioned. And I thought I saw someone press number one on their dial, but perhaps not.
Okay. I don't see it at the moment.
Our question is,
what must Africans be about to achieve continental sovereignty? To quote Marcus Garvey, Africa for the Africans. That's our concern. That's our cry. To make this real, Africa and African people must begin to build an economic platform that we control and that benefits us. Hence, Us Lifting Us, which is a family-centered economy, a family-centered global economy that benefits African-descended people here in the United States, throughout the Caribbean, and on the African continent, and everywhere black people are in the diaspora. We're coming
Brother, let me see.
Can you open that phone line? Because I don't see it, Sister Nanana.
Okay. Caller 3440. 3440. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes. Greetings, Baba Kimbisi and Sister Nanana. This is Brother Shabaka from Baltimore. And
yes.
let me say hello to your listening audience as well.
Wonderful to have you with us. Wonderful to have you with us, Brother Shabaka. Thank you for joining us.
You're quite welcome, Sister, and I think that you open up, you and Brother Kimbisi open up with a very extremely important topic, and that is doing an examination of the role that it appears that Putin and Trump are playing, representing the Russian Federation and the U.S. Respectively. And I really don't think that there's much to do. I think it's very much in line with a lot of things that you have said, the economic discussion. Let me just bring up a few points just to whet our appetite or refresh our memories. Remember that Rex Tillerson, former Secretary of State, first Secretary of State in the Trump administration, was the CEO of ExxonMobil, who just finished negotiating a $500 billion oil exploration deal in Russia's Arctic. All right. That deal went south because of the U.S. sanctions when Russia took over Crimea. But the emphasis of a negotiation between the Russian oil company and ExxonMobil, the largest oil company in the world, are to negotiate a deal to explore Russia. And I think that they found some oil in one of the areas in which it was exploring in the Arctic Ocean. In addition to that, people ask, and I want to bring in Korea right quick. Little is it known that Korea, North Korea, as was surveyed by a South Korean mining company, has something like $5 to $6 trillion value of a reserve in minerals in the north. So we're trying to figure out why is everybody jumping on Korea? Why is everybody talking to Russia? Well, everybody is talking because of, as you said, economics, money, control over resources, global resources to Africa. Russia is probably has the largest amount of mineral resources in the world next to Africa. It's just that it's under ice because it's mostly out there in the Siberia and it's in the Arctic Ocean. So, yeah, these folks are talking about, as Baba Kimbisi says, global assessment and control, and I'm saying right now that they're not fighting, they're really negotiating how they sustain control as African people, all right, begin to question the legitimacy of having their own resources dominated by these powers. And so that's what I think that we are beginning to see. If we could bring in even in the pipelines, the oil and natural gas pipelines coming from Russia into Europe, from Saudi Arabia through Israel, all right, to the Mediterranean, coming from Iran, Iraq, you know, trying to get through Iraq, but you know there's been some dispute. All right, everything to deal with the market control, because believe it or not, little is it known, even though the United States with 330 some million people, maybe add another about 20, 30 million people from Canada, is only second largest market in terms of utilizing all of the resources and minerals that goes into making a so-called civilization. Europe has 450 million people. So the thing is to sell to Europe. The United States want to sell to Europe. Russia want to sell to Europe. Everybody want to sell. But in order to sell and maximize the profits that is made, they must control that market. They must be able to control the flow of resources, the flow of distribution. And we're saying that, all right, if the Europeans want to do that, the Chinese want to do that, Africans should have control over our own resources. We don't necessarily need to control and dominate anybody else, but at least we should have control over our own resources. So let me stop here, and I thank you for giving me at least a few minutes to get that off my chest. I like the start of the new program. It's extremely important as we see these two great nuclear powers negotiate and sustaining control over resources and markets for their profitability.
Brother Shabaka, we certainly want to thank you for that analysis and kind of pulling all of the different threads together so that we have we kind of see the whole cloth. We're not just talking about individual threads and strands. We need to take a quick station break. When we come back, based on everything that we've said, we'll be talking about the imperative for black people, black institutions, especially the black church here in the United States, joining together as members in a large-scale, cooperatively owned business enterprise to pool our resources. Are you ready? will be right back. None other than the legendary James Brown talking about getting down on the good foot. If you're just joining us, this is Brother Kimbizi and Sister Nanana and other board members from Us Lifting Us here on our Thursday night broadcast, Dare to Win. Right now we're shifting gears. We recognize, given that other nationalities and groups are organizing to continue to exert global hegemony, global power over brown and black people. Therefore, what must we be doing to guarantee that we can achieve our own economic and political sovereignty? So, Sister Nanana, if I'm fascinated as I read the history of Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, from 1910 to about 1920, they built a community that was the envy of not only – it was just the envy of the country. They had numerous grocery stores. They had clothing stores. They had movie houses. They even had two airports, and black men and families had their own airplanes. Black Wall Street was thriving. It was an amazing – accomplishment at the time and at the height of segregation and tremendous racial hatred against black folks. And yet, because they acted cooperatively, they were successful in creating a vibrant and thriving community. I'm excited because I realize that what we have done in the past, we can do again. So let's talk about, with our listeners, the ULU, the Us Lifting Us plan to bring black people and black institutions together to build large-scale, cooperatively owned business enterprises. Help us understand what we're talking about.
Well, thank you for that introduction, and you have painted a very accurate and a lively picture of not only the past, but what we look forward to in the future and what we have every possibility and potential for achieving, and that is our own sovereignty and being able to take care of ourselves through literally building our own economy. It has been done, and it can be done. What Uplifting Us offers, and by the way, for those of you who have not viewed the Uplifting Us Economic Development Cooperative website, please go to usliftingus.com. That's USLIFTINGUS.com, usliftingus.com. And the first thing you'll see before you actually get into the website is that you are going to see the ULU 10-point appeal and plan. ULU is an acronym for Uplifting Us. You'll see the 10-point appeal and plan for the new black economy. And what we detail in this 10-point appeal and plan are the basic tenets, values, and steps to work towards achieving our economic development, which is our safety and our freedom in this environment. The first thing that we need to do is to pool our resources. Pooling resources is absolutely vital and important. And the very first item on the 10-point appeal and plan says, as black people, we take full responsibility for the economic destiny of our communities and our nations. In other words, we acknowledge and we recognize that we are the only ones who can, in fact, create this type of security for us going forward, and we take full responsibility for that. And Brother Kimbizi, before I go any further, I just want to stop for a minute because I see that there's a caller who has put their number in queue. They'd like to either ask a question or make a comment. So can I go ahead and open that line now?
Let's go ahead and hear what they would like to ask.
For sure. Okay, caller, last four digits, 4310. Caller 4310, please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, everyone. My name is Jerome Crawford. Good evening to the ULU team.
Good evening.
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. And my comment is I understand the position moving forward with the ULU March. Are we looking at physical locations? Or are we looking at more virtual? Everything seems to be going virtual now with your Amazon and the Walmarts and the like. Are we looking at doing some type of e-commerce like that, or are we looking at physical ULU marts to as a path forward?
Thank you for that question, brother, and that certainly is an important question and one that needs to be answered in light of the current environment. And you're very correct in identifying the virtual markets that are out there. And what we are looking at doing is we're looking at doing both. We're looking at having physical locations that also give access to those who want to shop virtually. And the example that I can give you is the Cafe ULU, which is the first venture, business venture that ULU has gone into, which has been open now about 6 months or so, if I'm correct, Brother Kimbizi. And if you go on the website for Cafe ULU, what you will see is that there is a store on that website where you can purchase coffee from all around the globe. And we have taken steps to ensure that every step in this process, every product that we offer in Cafe ULU, everything that has been done to put Cafe Ulu together, the physical furnishings in the facility, so on and so forth, that everything has been done through our community. In other words, we are illustrating and showing that we can do business with each other. So I hope that answers your question. That's the best example that I can give you right now is Cafe Ulu, that it is a networking lounge and a coffee house, but we also address the virtual market through products that you can purchase via the website. And we have some other things on there, like T-shirts and things like that as well. So does that answer your question for you?
Yes, it does. But, you know, from going on last week's call, we talked about 140,000 black-owned businesses in Atlanta. How do we pull them in and actually get them involved in the e-commerce that we're starting up?
The black businesses?
Brother Jerome, to Sister Nanana's point, we're doing both and. We have to start somewhere. And where we've started is with Cafe Ulu. As we bring in additional resources, obviously we will branch out to online platforms and beginning to operate in these virtual markets. So the question is really a matter of timing and resources. We certainly intend to operate both in brick and mortar buildings and facilities, but we certainly will be operating in online environments also. So thank you for your call, and continue to listen. And as we will be doing outreach and having meetings at Cafe Ulu, we certainly hope that you'll come by the cafe, share your ideas in person, and let's begin the networking to expand what we are able to do, as we have both the human and the monetary resources to operate at an even faster pace.
One other thing that I might add to that, if I can, Brother Kambizi, is that Ulu offers membership for individuals as well as for businesses and organizations and married couples. And so, Brother Jerome, I heard you mention the number of black businesses in the Atlanta area. Every one of those businesses and various organizations in the black community have the opportunity to become not only members, but member owners, and to purchase shares or units in Us Lifting Us. And so that's another step in the process to keep in mind as well. And Brother Kambizi has made a very good point that this is a process. Yes, we are. Our plan is to do both the actual brick and mortar as well as the virtual. And what we've done with Cafe Ulu is that we've made a start, and we're looking forward to taking bigger and greater steps in the future. And please keep in mind that Ulu is global, that we have membership all around the globe. And so we're looking at being worldwide. Atlanta is a start, but there's no reason why we can't do business in London, in Bermuda, in Canada, in Haiti, in South America. We're looking at all of those as, you know, the world is going to be our market. And thank you for the question.
Sister Nanana, I would simply add to what you have said that when we're talking, we are at the point, we're grateful that we have this platform, the Ulu Radio, every Thursday night at the Dare to Win program, because this gives us the opportunity to talk to our people. And to do what Ezra Aharon calls sovereign psyche. We have to see ourselves as behaving as sovereigns, and at the more that we see that, the more that we embrace that, the more then we will build out the institutions that reflect that sovereignty. What we're saying is that black people, because we've done this in the past, but that's several generations ago. We're dealing with the millennial generation now who may not be privy to this history. So we have to kind of go back and re-educate ourselves and remind ourselves of the accomplishments that we have already made. And so we use this particular platform to share with our people a vision of what we can be and what we will be as more and more people hear the word. So, Brother Jerome, we would invite you to talk with your friends, your circle of influence, your networks. Bring them back to this call every Thursday. Bring them by Cafe Ulu and get them signed up for the communications that we're sending out via email and social media, and join with us in the planning and execution of building this economic machinery that will work for this generation and at the same time be available to pass forward to future generations. Sister Nanana, is there some other points that we need to make before we move on to the next segment?
Oh, I think we're ready to move on. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take another station break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the mechanics of how our listeners, if you're not already a member of Us Lifting Us, how to become a part of this growing movement toward economic self-determination and power. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From Arrested Development, and I come here tonight to give thanks to the rain. So brothers and sisters, please put down your umbrellas. You won't be needing those today. Look to the clouds with the most rain coming from it. For without the rain, there's no me and there's no you. I said a drip drop, a drip drop, drip drop. Viva, bum, bum, bum. Drip drop. Let it rain, let it rain. Let God's water feed me, the water of life. Mentally rinsing me, physically drenching me, most of frowning upon your arrival, but I need you for survival, and when you fall in my community, yeah, I run outside to properly greet you, let it rain, take my pain, I'm glad to meet you, fill my eyes with a colorful rainbow, every drop that hits me, fills me with unmeasurable amount of security, knowing my God acknowledges me, as this each drop of rain is aimed toward me, my Lord, thanks for life. My Lord, thanks for life.
Thank you,
yeah.
My rain.
It's rainy revolution. It's rainy solution. It's rainy revolution. It's rainy revolution. It's rainy revolution. It's rainy revolution. It's rainy revolution.
And we're back. Reigning Revolution by Arrested Development. If you're just joining us, this is Brother Kim Beasy and Sister Nanana on Dare to Win, Ulu's Thursday night broadcast. And we're discussing building the machinery for economic empowerment and how you can plug in and become a part of the revolution. Sister Nanana, please share with our audience how they can become a part of Us Lifting Us.
Thank you so much, Brother Kimbizi. I'd be happy to do that. The first thing that I want to share is the website address, usliftingus.com. That's USLIFTINGUS.com. uplifting.com, upliftingus.com. So going on to the website and putting the cursor on the tab that says membership, if you click on the membership tab, you will see all of the information that you need to become a member. It says, in order for a people to be free, in order for a people to make their own history, that group of people must be in control of their own collective economic life. In order to do that, be a member of Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative and make that membership application today is what we would urge you to do. Membership in the cooperative is voluntary, and it's open to anyone of Black African descent and of legal age. There's only one class of membership, and all members have the same rights and responsibilities. So each member has one vote. No matter how many shares that member may purchase as an owner, they still have one vote. So the first thing that you want to do is to continue on that page down to the area where you see the application and the agreement. Click on that, fill it out, and then return it to us with your $50 membership processing fee. Now, some people would rather do things on hard copy, and you can certainly print it off and fill it out if you would care to do that, and then mail it to Us Lifting Us. And you'll see the address there, 3645 Marketplace Boulevard, Suite 130264 in East Point, Georgia. So it's as simple as that to become a member, and we do urge you to please read the membership agreement. Read it completely, and if you have questions, you can certainly call with any question that you have. Call 404-592-2780. That's 404-592-2780. You will receive, your message will be received on a recorded announcement, and one of the board members will return your call in very short order if you have a question as you're filling out your application. So that's how you become a member. It's as simple as that. We invite you to review the entire website before filling out your membership application, and as we said before, please read the membership agreement and include your $50 membership fee, which you'll be able to do online through PayPal. And we're looking forward to having you as a member. So I think that covers it, Brother Kimbizi.
I think you're right, Sister Nanana. And I would just reiterate what you were saying. That's so important to how Us Lifting Us functions. One share, one vote. 10 shares, one vote. 1,000 shares, one vote. So that means that each member inside of Us Lifting Us, we all stand on equal footing. What people may not recognize or understand is that in the corporate arena of capitalism, every share that you own as an owner counts as a vote. So if you own 50,000 shares in a corporation, you have 50,000 votes. If you own 10 shares in a capitalist corporation, you only have 10 votes. And that's how those corporations operate the way that they do. The 1% owns the majority of the shares, and 4 or 5 people make policy for the entire corporation. We don't think that that's the way healthy communities should operate. So inside of Us Lifting Us, one share, one vote.
true democracy. And this is something that we want everyone to become a part of, and let's pull together and build a global economy that serves the needs of all of us and not just a privileged few. So,
mm-hmm.
So thank you again, Sister Nanana, for giving us the mechanics of becoming a member of Us Lifting Us. And we just want to remind everyone that we need everybody. We don't want anyone to think that, oh, well, they're up and running. My share is not important at this stage. No. We need everybody. And so do as Sister Nanana suggested, pointed out for us, go to the website, usliftingus.com, click on the membership tab, get the application, fill that out, and let us hear from you. We're going to take one. Go ahead, Sister Nana.
Yeah, there was just one other thing that I wanted to add to that that I just thought about, which is very important in terms of the membership, and that is that there is a vetting process associated with becoming a member of ULU. And so when you send in your application and your $50, your initial membership processing fee, you will receive a phone contact and have some dialogue with one of the board members. And that process helps us to help you to make sure that you understand what the organization is about, what we're talking about when we talk about family economics, cooperative economics, and that you understand our process of purchasing shares, so on and so forth, and also helps us to be clear that you are who you say you are, and that you are firmly planted in and a true member of the community of people of Black African descent. So I just wanted to share that there is a vetting process involved as well.
Welcome back, and welcome back to Dare to Win, Us Lifting Us Thursday Night Broadcast.
where we are training our money and making sense of the black dollar so it works for us. Sister Nanana, would you share in the few moments that we have left a bit of our strategic growth campaign?
Thank you so much for that opportunity. The strategic growth campaign is focused on assisting ULU and ensuring that ULU increases not only its membership, but that it also increases the number of member owners, that is, those who are actually purchasing shares within ULU. And a share is $1,000 a share. And by owning a unit, you become a true business owner, as owner of any business that ULU establishes and sets up. Our goal is to increase our membership by 1,000 members within the next year, and to increase the number of shares that or number of members who are actually share owners by 1,000 as well. So you, for those of you who are already members, you have been receiving the emails encouraging you to bring people into the organization and to assist with the recruiting process. And the Thursday night radio broadcast is part of that recruiting process. We are very hopeful that all of our listeners are ULU members, but we also know that many of them very possibly are not. And so, once again, we encourage you to review the website, to go ahead and fill out that membership application so that you can become part of this global, this worldwide economy that we are building, and that you can be a part of helping ULU to reach that goal that we have of increased membership as well as increase in the number of shares moving forward. It's truly going to be exciting, because what will happen as the membership increases and the number of shares purchased increases is that we will start opening more actual businesses and doing more online. We will be launching a very aggressive online campaign very soon that's going to entail social media and many other aspects. So you will start seeing the name usliftingus.com in places that you have not seen it before. And you want to be a part of that because it means your security, and it helps. It will help you to secure the security of future generations moving forward. So, Brother Kambizi, is there anything you'd like to add concerning the campaign?
Well, no, I just want to say thank you to everyone for being with us. Thank Brother Shabaka for his comments. Thank Brother Jerome for calling in and sharing his energy and thoughts with us. Thank you, Sister Nana, for helping us to understand these critical issues. I'm reminded that in 1920, Brother Marcus Garvey held a convention in New York City's Madison Square Garden. 25,000 people showed up and began to lay out the work for what a black global government would look like. And so, just as a quick teaser, remember we have a convention coming up in March of 2019, and we look to bring thousands to Atlanta to carry forward the process of building our own global economy. We hope that you'll be part of this, and we'll be back next Thursday, same bat time, same bat channel. And we look to see you then. Until next Thursday.